From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hold it in.
I got a nautical theme Pashmina Afghan. I'm Paul.
I'm on a boat. I'm Storm.
I wish I were on a boat. And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On no longer average on a boat.
I sense a theme for tonight's show.
Yeah, if you happen to be running through these podcasts non-sequentially in the year 2014, this will make sense shortly. If you don't know by the date, which is January, oh gosh, Wednesday, January the this 2011,
12th,
January the 12th, 2000 frickin' 11, first and podcast of 2011.
Yeah, and this is show 104. All those great laid plans we have of recording some podcasts while on the cruise, nah.
Meh. You know, it never seemed like the right time.
It didn't. I mean, between being busy and like eating dinner or eating buffet food or being out on the seas or being exhausted.
Before we gets into it. The Brigade of Minions.
Yes.
Which I failed to check before we got here.
Oh, are you looking it up now?
Clicky ticky ticky tacky. Yes. Can't you hear me typing?
There's one more than you can see right now.
Ticky tacky, toppy tooky, checking.
what? The well-oiled machine rolls on into 2011.
Yeah, this is a buckety buckety experiment.
Yes, it is.
And that was a way too blatant attempt at capturing the title.
Oh no, not happening.
No,
nope,
I know.
Tried too hard. Good effort, though.
That's because I'm ticky-tappy typing.
A yeoman's... Now, is a yeoman's effort like a good effort, an especially good effort, or like just sort of like a middle-of-the-road effort? I've never truly understood that.
I've always had... I felt like it was sort of a nose-to-the-grindstone, honest, hard-working, beer-gut effort, you know?
I'm gonna look that up while you look... like the number of minions,
like sort of, you know, like a workmanlike effort, a yeoman's effort.
Yeah,
it's not like nobility or like you made a hut out of spaghetti, which would be really incredible.
A hut out of spaghetti. See, that is a title.
I wasn't even trying.
I know,
I wasn't
that's
even
the
trying.
Trick. That's really the trick.
I was just trying to think about the most amazing thing that someone could possibly ever do, and obviously. It's a hut made out of spaghetti.
Here we go. I've looked up yeoman on the Wikipedia, and it talks about...
Well, a yeoman effort's going to be different than a yeoman.
Well, yeah, but it discusses yeoman work.
I see.
Work performed or rendered in a loyal, valiant, useful, or workmanlike manner, especially work requiring a great deal of effort or labor, such as would be done by a yeoman farmer, came to be described as yeoman's work.
Or say a nose to a grindstone.
Yes, the yeoman became associated with hard toil.
There you go. Making spaghetti huts, the yeoman. Because it's very difficult.
Actually, so if you have not yet
looked
up... I was going to say, if you were to refresh... actually, no, not yet, because I don't have it in there. But by the time you finish telling us about how many minions there are, there will be one more in the list.
Okay, in that case, including, because they are rolling in, folks, slots are filling up. There are now 385 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. That means not only that we have 385 awesome minions, but that we are coming up upon the coveted penultimate designation. That is, when we approach 400, is it actually number 398 who is the penultimate?
No, it is 399 that is the penultimate, because we roll over on every 0 and 50.
So 401 will be the next...
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Am I wrong? No, actually, it would be... yes, that's correct.
Right. So
0-0 is the penultimate.
Okay, so, well, no, penultimate would be 399.
Oh, you know, that's true. We may have been misdesignating folks.
No, we haven't. We haven't.
Have we? Okay.
So whoever's number 399 of this batch, which is currently the Big Block Dandies, you will gain that. And it's very rarefied company. There are fewer penultimate minions than senators. Think about that, people. Think about that. Far fewer. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Let's go to paulandstorm.com to find out how to become a minion. An official minion. Official mm-hmm. designated minion. Well, I have some notes all related to the cruise.
Yes, semi-related to the cruise, but not actually specifically to the cruise yet. I would at first like to hear of your return to Duns River Falls.
That was, in fact, the big to-do.
Let us refresh those who may have forgotten the story, or let those know who have not heard the story very briefly. Your tale of Duns River Falls.
Yes, when I was 9 or 10 years old, my parents took my sister and I and themselves on a cruise, my very first, and one of the stops was Ocho Rios, where there are these falls you could walk up, and I was too young, too small, or my parents just knew I was too clumsy to allow me to go up these falls. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, it was, wow, that must be a really awesome thing to do. And when I'm grown up, I'm going to do that. I don't know when, but I'm going to do that. And as it turns out, the Joco Cruise Crazy ended up having Ocho Rios as a port of call. And it was a last minute change. So it was vowed here on this podcast, in case you have not been a listener for long, that I was going to go and climb Duns River Falls. So that's the less than extraordinarily brief summation of what was. What happened was I and Mrs. Storm, in fact, did climb Duns River Falls. And I don't have a grand story planned out here, but just sort of some observations mm-hmm. and sort of on the cruise, just as a general statement, things literally couldn't have gone better. Like everything we planned, and feel free to disagree, but I don't think you will, like everything worked.
Yeah.
And everybody had an awesome time. Both all the performers did, all of the cruisers, the Sea Monkeys did. But the only thing, and it wasn't like a deal breaker type thing, but the only observation that was at all negative from anybody, and it was pretty consistent, was Jamaica, or at least the port where we were, was you had people who were aggressively selling you stuff and services all the time.
Yeah, and my extremely limited understanding is that most of Jamaica is like that. Like, unless you are on an all-inclusive, in an all-inclusive resort that basically bars the entryways yep. and fences off the beaches, that you pretty much face that anywhere in Jamaica.
And it's kind of, you know, understandable. And this is sort of one of those things that about Caribbean cruises is these are areas that there's not a lot of economy there, you know?
No.
So when these boats come in with these people from mostly America with their pockets full of cash.
Jingly jangly.
Yeah, of course. You're going to get some of that. But anyway, it was a time warp moment for me, because on the first cruise when I was a kid, it hadn't been that developed a port at that point. I think mm-hmm. it was sort of in the life cycle of these things. It's sort of like there's always the new destination that's it's the real Caribbean, you know,
right, before
it got ruined by all the tourists, and then all the tourists pile in
right.
with their spaghetti huts. And so then at that time, like the cruise port itself was the same, like the ship pulled up at the same place. The aluminum, the bauxite mine was still there as I remembered as a child,
right.
not quite as bright and orange, but it had been not deserted, but sort of pastoral. So it was sort of a shocking thing. And we did get to the falls. We actually hired a driver for like $30 for the whole day. Mm-hmm. And he took us all around the island. And when we got there to the falls, it was one of those, it was like being in the TV show Lost, when they would shift back and forth in time and they'd be standing at, say, a hatch that they had stood at, but it was 100 years in the future. And then all of a sudden it was 100 years in the past.
Right.
And granted, I was maybe 3 feet above where I was when I was 9 years old.
Not like levitating 3 feet above, just your height. You had grown.
No, in fact, I was levitating.
Were you? That was a nice touch.
Yeah, it was just like Lost. The magnetism at Dunn's River Falls is off the charts.
You're going to die, Charlie.
Well, it wasn't that mystical, just because it was a magnetic place and I was wearing a big metal belt.
Gotcha.
No. Indeed, it's because I'm taller now. And I remember this one vista where it sort of flattens out. And these falls, it's sort of a series of plateaus. It's not like, you know, Niagara Falls, where it's just this one big chute of water.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of these cascading falls that are tiered, like something the Cake Wash might do.
The Cake Wash. The Cake Wash.
Apologies to Paul F. Tompkins. So there's one point, it's sort of in the middle of the falls where you sort of have a vista and you can see people going up the falls, and I had one of those flashback moments.
Going up the falls like salmon, just sort of flopping up as bears swat them out of the water.
You know, it kind of has that look to it.
That
it's
would,
a little
that would
bit
make
sad.
That would make a whole different awesome experience. Unless, of course, you were being swatted by a bear, in which case it certainly would be different but far less awesome.
Right. We'll save that for the Alaska cruise.
Yeah.
The bear swatting expedition.
Bear swatting expedition. That's the name right there.
Or you could say it was like the song Jukebox Hero, where at the beginning of the song, the dude's like, oh no, I'm just the stupid kid in the rain without a rock and roll ticket. And then he comes back with a guitar. I didn't have an electric guitar because that would be unhealthy in a waterfall. Anyway, so we in fact did get there and we met up with... We had no real plan. We were just going to go, and everything is designed to trap you into convincing you that you needed to either spend money or hire people.
Right.
So you get down there and they're like, okay, form up. You need a tour guide and you have to get a locker. But I had read ahead of time that that was all jive.
It was all bullshit.
It was bull jive
sheet. You did not even need a tour guide. You could work your own way up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
And unfortunately, most people on the cruise did not know this. I found out later, and the experience was ruined because when you go with the tour groups, they make you hold hands and you have to move at their pace, and they videotape you, and then they pressure you into buying a tape of it for $40.
Yeah, tape of you holding hands with 20 strangers.
Exactly, or people that you know and don't want to hold hands with.
Right.
Not that I didn't want to hold hands with Mrs. Storm, because I did want to, and we did hold hands at times. Yeah.
But you didn't have to, you chose to. That's the difference.
Right. It wasn't because, you know, Mr. Mon was telling me to.
Mr. Mon. Is that Jamaican movie with the Jamaican Michael Keaton?
Yeah, there's still a lawsuit about that. But even like in the middle of the falls, we met up with some other sea monkeys. Just happened to be there. So we all like ran the gauntlet and got past the organized brigades.
Right.
But even as we started up the falls, like these guys were kind of splashing along and they're like, okay, follow us. We're your leader. And we're like, no, you're not. You're some dude with the camera and you were not invited. But it was really fun. We've done water hikes before. Mm-hmm. So we knew to have our water shoes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And at times a little scary. It's coming down pretty hard.
I bet.
But it's been trod only like a billion times. So there are no jagged edges. And it appears they've even chipped in like footholds. Ah. So there are places where the steeper places, you can almost climb them like a staircase. You just look and see where the footholds are.
Right.
But it was cool and refreshing and crisp and clean and no caffeine and all that stuff. And we did it. So it felt great. It really was one of those things where you felt like you'd done your younger you a solid.
Well, cool. Good for you. Good on you, Storm.
And sorry, I hogged up a whole bunch of time on
That's okay. It was cathartic.
It was. I do feel relieved, like relieving oneself.
We talked about bears and levitating, and
that's true. It wasn't just about climbing the falls per se.
That's right.
How about you in terms of shore excursions? I know that it was so neat that we got to take our families with.
Yeah,
that was
nice. We went. My favorite excursion was we went snorkeling for the very first time.
Oh, really?
First time. Actually, I think my wife may have been snorkeling once or twice or something. But
snorkeling on the sly.
Snorkeling on the sly, snorkeling behind my back.
Late night snorkeling.
But it was nice. I mean, we took sort of the easy low rent snorkeling. That is to say, basically a place a couple of blocks up from where you got off the boat. Mainly because none of us having snorkeled, we didn't want to lay out like, you know, 50, 60 bucks a piece on some boat excursion where you're stuck there for 2 to 2.5 hours or something.
Right.
Because if it turned out any of us didn't like it, then they'd have been screwed and we'd have wasted that money. So we just sort of went to the little place. You know, I'm sure it was not the world's most incredible, gorgeous snorkeling expedition, but there were fish and there was a shipwreck. You know, it was an old, like, scuttled merchant mm-hmm. ship. It wasn't like a, you know, 18th century pirate bark or anything like that. But we saw colorful, interesting fish.
Yeah.
And we saw the shipwreck. And the nice thing was we were right there near the shore and there was a float there. So every, you know, 15 minutes or so, whenever somebody got tired, they could just go to the float, carefully avoid all of the bird poop mm-hmm. and rest. So it was actually at a perfect pace for us, so to speak.
That actually sounds like a great snorkeling
trip. It was very nice. And it was basically connected to a little restaurant that was not particularly schmancy or anything, but also not like, you know, whatever the Grand Cayman version of Pizza Hut is.
Right.
My wife had a lovely piece of fresh mahi-mahi. And it was a lovely day. All the other days were nice too, but that was particularly nice from an excursion standpoint.
Yep. Yeah, we went native a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not like left the boat behind.
Not naked.
No, not naked. Never naked. In fact, I never took my shirt off. But like in the Caymans, we originally wanted to go to this botanic gardens, but it turns out it was like, you know, an hour away and there's no public transportation to it. But we were told that they have like these local buses, which sounded like a cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically the buses are really like these minivans that just sort of circulate around the island on a more or less designated route. And took us to this turtle farm. And it was, you understand the whole island time thing when you get there.
Yep.
Sort of feel like it'd be kind of cool to just go to one of the islands and spend some time, but I get the feeling I'd get bored after about 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I concur. Speaking of cruise highlights, I have a particular highlight myself.
Sure.
To talk about the cruise itself briefly, because we could certainly spend an hour each talking about stuff and not remotely cover it.
And if you weren't on the cruise, you're going to be like, oh, you guys suck. You know, you're just rubbing your nose faces in it.
You guys and your nose faces. But to talk about it a bit, one of my favorite aspects of it was that it went exactly as we had hoped insofar as it had a certain, for lack of a better way of describing it, it had a similar feel to PAX in as much as there were really no assholes to speak of.
Except that one guy.
Well, that one guy, and you know who you are. It was a very happy communal atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I heard no complaints from the attendee side of things.
Nope.
I also heard no complaints from the performer side of things. Everybody, you know, everybody was accessible, but at the same time, I didn't hear about anybody feeling like their privacy was being invaded upon at any point on the trip. And also the way sort of the community latched on to the whole idea and started organizing their own things. Like mm-hmm. there was a group that did a iPhone handbell choir. The tabletop gamers were set up everywhere, not just in the gaming room that we had. There were people doing, I believe it was swing dancing lessons and things like that, which is exactly the kind of thing we were hoping for, because it meant less stuff for us to formally organize. But I was very happy with the way all of that turned out, insofar as it could have been an utter disaster and was in fact the opposite. But what I was going to say, the actual highlight of the trip for me, or one of the many, but the one that springs to mind right now for me, is most of us who went on the trip, the performers, have had some sort of experience with yep. this type of crowd, whether it be at PAX or Comic-Con or Dragon Con or wherever. They've had a certain degree of experience with the nerds.
Yep.
But there were several folks that came along. I'm thinking specifically about Peter Sagal
yep.
and David Reese mm-hmm. and John Roderick,
mm-hmm.
who, while they certainly have had experience with, you know, fans and the public and such, have never had quite this this deep a dive into the valley of nerddom.
Not at this molar strength.
Yeah, exactly. And it was very interesting to me to see them sort of see how it was all working and react to it and eventually, you know, come to not just accept it, but really genuinely enjoy it.
Yep.
That was a pleasure for me. All three of them came out of the trip, I thought, really having had a good time, not just because they were on a cool vacation, but just having a really good time with all of these people. I mean, David Reese dove in head
oh,
first,
yeah.
was at a number of the game nights, learned how to play Settlers of Catan. I saw mm-hmm. your photos of that.
Yeah.
And I loved that made me happy, because it was, you know, obviously it was about the attendees first, because they're the folks who actually paid to do this thing.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, we were really hoping that all the participants would have a good time, because it'll make it that much easier to have more participants later.
My highlight is actually sort of another facet of that very same die, in that the same thing.
How many sides are on this die?
20.
Nerd.
Yeah.
I wanted you to give like an odd number.
Seven.
Seven-sided die.
It's a seven-sided die. It's very Homestar.
It was.
The seven-sided die. But yes, sort of in particular in the performances, boiling it down to actual particular moments. One that you and I were in on was singing with John Roderick his song, The Commander Thinks Aloud, and feeling that crowd stretch. Like, all the entertainment was related in some way. Like, mm-hmm. there was a central point, Jonathan, around which it all hinges. And the different performers, I think, sort of go off tangentially from things that Jonathan does.
Spokes on the Colton wheel.
Yeah. And us too. I think all the performances are interconnected.
Yep.
John Roderick in particular, I think, isn't someone that most geeky nerdy types would necessarily know through geeky nerdy circles.
Yep.
They may know him most notably from the band he's in, The Long Winters.
Mm-hmm.
But probably wouldn't have come at that from a geeky angle. So a lot of people, he was fresh to them. He had performed the night before we did the song with him and with Jonathan at the same time. And so we got to see that in action, see people become introduced to someone that way. And you and I had never seen him live before. So getting to see him that way. But seeing everybody broaden that way, and the silence after the song was over. And
mm-hmm.
I do recommend you listen to this song and know that it's about.
There's at least a couple of films of YouTube of the actual performance up there now. Films on YouTube, I should say.
So seek it out, find out the story about it. But it's a pretty heavy and emotional song, mm-hmm. and most of the music and events were comedic in nature, and where the appropriate response is cheering or laughter or some sort of vocal, energetic response. And though there's tremendous energy from this song, and it's a beautiful and chilling song, and hard, it was hard, like, to keep my shit together while we were singing with the background vocals as it's going on.
Yep.
But that energy at the end is channeled into this, you could feel the entire audience and the performers all hinging around this feeling. And it felt like, I know it wasn't this long, but it felt like 30 seconds, you know,
yep,
from when the last note faded away to when people applauded, a very strong, sustained, respectful type of applause. And I think that was probably the single most moment. And if I can tack another one, sort of shifting gears.
Sure.
Was the, what might be the biggest FTW is the official coming out party for Mike Ferman in the sense.
Yes, Mike Furman's gay, everybody. He's not a debutante. He's a gay debutante.
Well, he may be those things, mean it in the sense of sort of introducing him writ big. Like a lot of folks and a lot of you know who he is already, as we've talked about him and how we both, you and I, Paul, have a crush on him.
Yep. As does my entire family at this point.
As does Mrs. Storm. Mm-hmm. Because he is, we haven't figured out who actually said it, but he's been given the moniker, the human smile.
Yes.
And quite apt and so great to see.
He's like a 35-year-old toddler.
Yeah. But more articulate.
Yeah. Well, that's the 35-year-old part.
Well, I wasn't
just sort
sure.
of the adorable and the enthusiasm and sort of wobbles about and gets really happy about everything.
Yep. And genuinely
occasionally soils himself.
Well, gosh, we had him as a guest with us on the podcast. So
we did.
Of course. Longtime listeners, you know exactly who Mike Ferman is.
That's right.
But in the same way, to see so many people get turned on to a friend that way was really, really great.
Yeah, that was so nice. And he sort of became the mascot is not the right word. I guess he sort of became adopted by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
His show was on the middle show in. I guess there were five shows. He was in the third show.
Yep.
And from that night on, every night he came into the dining room.
Yep.
Everyone would applaud. It just sort of became a thing.
He became Uncle.
We would applaud.
He became Uncle Mike.
He did. He did. He became everybody's Uncle Mike. And that was sweet. I like to see that it's even been carried on through to Twitter, where everybody keeps wishing him a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Even though it's not his birthday until Friday or Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I'm utterly confused as to when his birthday
is.
His actual
birthday is the 15th, but we are trying to cloud over that fact and just continually wish him happy birthday. So that was very nice. And this phrase gets used a lot, but it could not have happened to a nicer guy.
Yeah. Amens to that.
Yep. Beyond that, the cruise was, you know, you can see different people's accounting of their own experience, and you can see a bunch of pictures from the Flickr set, and you can see an increasing number of YouTube videos. It was awesome. We already are planning and expecting to do another one at it's still in the extreme preliminary stages. So we can't even really officially say there's going to be one, but I know that pretty much everybody involved on the planning end of things, from Jonathan on down, definitely wants there to be another. There will also be some, we'll be soliciting some feedback from those of you who were on the cruise and those of you who weren't on the cruise, to help us determine the where and the when and the how of the next cruise.
I think
keep an eye out for all that stuff.
It's pretty likely that it will again be like a 7-day cruise.
The length seemed just about right.
Yeah. Enough to pack in a lot of fun, but not so long that it would be hard for people to take, you know, a super duper amount of vacation.
I mean,
let's face it, we're mostly vital, and employed type people, or trying to be employed type people who can't take a 21-day cruise or that 120-day round the world monster.
Yeah, much as we would love to.
Yeah, I don't know. I think after 3 weeks, I'd be done. Like
you think it would take that long?
It might. I mean, I really do love being on a ship. Just. Mm-hmm. That kind of ship, like put me on a scow, I wouldn't last a day.
Right.
Unless it was a really nice scow.
A really awesome scow with room service and they make you towel animals.
Well, towel owl animal scow, that's the name of something.
That's an album title. I don't know whose album title it is.
The unofficial name of like Zeppelin's 8th album.
I was thinking a Gordon Lightfoot album.
Yeah, the whole the Edmund
like
it's
like a Gordon
thing.
Lightfoot kids album.
Ooh, wow! Did he ever do a kids album? I don't know.
But if he did, it should have been called Towel Animal Scow.
But in terms of like mainstream cruise ships, I love that feeling that it's a little bit of adventure, but not too dangerous. You know,
it's safe adventure.
It's safe adventure. I'm not a super like luxury kind of guy. Like actually. It makes me nervous when service is too attentive,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, what? Come on, just let me do my thing. But it's not that type of service. You feel like if you want anything, you get it with a smile and it's cool. But if you don't, it's not like you have to worry about employing people at all times to pick up your napkin or wipe your bum. Because they do have bum wiping service on cruises.
Boy, they draw straws to see who ends up with the bum wiping steward.
Well, there's one half of one half of one half of one half of percent of all people in the world that's attractive to wiping other people's bums. And they all live within a 10 square mile area that Holland America knows.
Oh, bum wiper stand.
Shh.
It's not on any maps. Don't worry.
Yeah. And they recruit from there. But yes, it's if you haven't been on a cruise before and you are going on one soon, be sure to ask your cabin steward about wiping your bum for
you. Well, you can't ask it that way. You have to ask the right code word.
Yeah.
Basically, you ask for a turndown service.
Yes, ask for the turndown service.
They know what it means.
Drop your pants as you're asking for turndown service.
Yeah, you just sort of indicate your hiney. As you said, can I have the turn down service? Point A.
They love that.
They love that.
So that's a real feature. So between the service, the food, which was surprisingly decent, even like on the buffet, 3 weeks I could get by, and then it would just sort of become all right. Unless it was going to like the most awesome places in the world.
Yeah.
But
and if you could have your cats with you.
Yeah, that would be a plus. But I know Mrs. Storm would not abide. She was probably done after like 4 days.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, Mrs. Paul went hit the wall around day five. So she rallied around day seven, but she hit the wall around day five as well.
Yeah. But you know, I think we've given people a nice taste of the Caribbean there.
I hope so.
And
we didn't even talk about the fact that we sang Big Dick Farts a Polka live for the first, if not last time ever.
If it hadn't been for the awesomeness of Mike Furman and John Roderick, I think that would be next in line for highlight.
That was made that much better with Mike Furman, who among his many talents is he is an able hand farter.
Oh my God! Yeah, during sound check, I asked him to do Axel F theme. Mm-hmm. Spot on. Yep. Spot frickin' on.
Yep. There was that. There was awesome stuff. We sang several a cappella tunes. We sang in the United Servo Academy Men's Choir.
Oh, that was... God, the moments just kept coming.
I know. Most of them, again, are on YouTube. Seek them out. Watch them as they roll in. And make sure you don't... We're going to try also... to give lots of advance notice on the next cruise in the hopes that those of you who need a little more time to gather up the funding for such a thing can...
Or gather up vacation time.
Or vacation time can plan to do so. We certainly hope so, because we would. The only thing that was missing was lots more people.
Oh yeah, I mean there were plenty enough.
Oh yeah, yeah, there were plenty, but.
But can you imagine if we had enough people to take over a ship?
That would be quite a lot.
It'd be insane. The programming that we could do would be kind of
ridiculous in the best possible way.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing about planning ahead. Like if we get commitments from enough people and we know like we can even get half of a ship.
Yep.
Then we can do some pretty ridiculous things.
Yep.
And you know, I feel like we've given some value here to you, mm-hmm. our dear listener, today. It's been a while since we podcasted, but...
it was just before the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So, but we've got some travel coming up. We'll try to keep the ball rolling. Where are we going to be?
We are going to be next week, he said, turning his lamp towards his calendar next week. On the 20th of January, we're in San Francisco at the Great American Music Hall with Jonathan Colton. On the 21st, we're at Largo in Los Angeles. You just lost your buffer. Storm has stopped recording. How do you want to handle this, Storm? Do you want me to just finish off the podcast and you can dictate to me what you would like to say? He says yes, but I'll go ahead since we're closing off. 21st, we're in Los Angeles at Largo. And the 22nd, we're at the Soiled Dove in Denver. And then on the 28th, we are at, I can't remember the name of the place and I can't read my own writing, but we're in Pittsburgh again with Jonathan. And on the 31st, we're in Philly at World Cafe Live. You can go to paulandstorm.com to find out all the information and to find out about joining the Brigade of Minions. We've got a bunch of stuff, bunch of potential stuff, and a bunch of probable stuff on the plate for 2011. We hope that at least half of it comes through. It would make it an even awesomer year than 2010 was, none of which we can tell you about right now. Storm says, because we want to be frazzled and busy with it. So that being said, I'm Paul, and he's Storm, and we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes. On average, I had a thing I was going to say, and the thing I was going to say was this. Woozle Wuzzle. Storm says, go do things.